mirada de verdad.
We are back with Crystal the Rock 100.7 FM. Be sure to stay tuned on thewordfm.com if you're outside of the Dallas Metroplex area, and check out our website, crystaltherock.com. We're in the studio this evening with Pastor Jerry Hobbs, Pastor Gary Schaefer, and Attorney Andy Howard. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to go back and just allow Pastor Gary to finish up his thoughts. And he was on a roll, so we kind of cut him off with the break there. But please jump back in for us.
That's fine. Thank you, Tina.
If you can find where you are.
Who knows? I just don't know about that. Well, I once again want to thank you for having us over. For those that are not sitting here in the studio with us right now, there's a really peaceful spirit in here. And I've had people through the years visit our home, and I can't tell you how many times they've stopped in our entry hall before we would see them out to their car. And I've had many people say, "Man, I don't want to leave your home. I feel the peace of God here." And when they do that, I always give God the praise for that. And here's what I tell them. You know, peace didn't knock on the door. Peace didn't ring the doorbell. We pray for it. We cry out for peace. We say, "Lord, we need your peace, the true peace of God." I believe there's a such thing as false peace. And some people kind of fake being at peace or having peace in their lives. But the true peace of God is what we long for. And it's the real deal. So if you're there tonight, if you're sitting in your home or in your automobile or wherever you are, if you've had enough of not having enough peace, you can ask God and say, "Lord, I need that." And the door to that and the gate to that is salvation. So I'm not trying to have an all-out revival here tonight. But if you don't know God, there is an available, attainable God. And you can reach him through his son, Jesus. And I invite you just to ask him into your heart. I am so amazed at the kingdom of God, Tina. I was thinking the other day how you and I came to know one another. I believe it was at the CMA meeting, wasn't it? Am I allowed to say what that is?
Sure.
Christian Media Association. And I missed the January meeting. I had some places I had to be. But a wonderful group of people. That was really a diverse group of people there, wasn't it?
It's always really enjoyable. It's great fellowship, and you learn so much from people, and they're up.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're invited.
Well, next time.
It was very strong. It was very strong. I believe one of the greatest things that I have come to know with the body of Christ and serving God is relationships. And there's something about the relationship you and I have that's on a godly level. And how we have began to encourage one another. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about 4 years ago. spoke to me about 4 years ago. And here's what he said. He said, "I want you to resurrect old relationships and embrace new relationships." And I did just that. And I found the engine of God, so to speak, began to work in my life. Things began to snap. Things began to happen. All kinds of opportunities began to open up simply because I embraced new relationships. So whoever's listening, if you listen to the words I'm saying today, do not take introductions lightly. I believe that God orchestrates every introduction.
Absolutely.
And then what we do with it after that is up to us. We can let it go by the wayside, or we can nurture that relationship, but you never know. You never, ever know. And I'm not going to start in on story after story. I remember being so privileged to minister for Brother Osteen that has gone on to glory years ago, Joel Osteen's father. This was in the late 70s. And a little boy walked up and tugged on his dad's coat and said, Dad, I need to talk to you. I was standing there with Pastor Osteen and another minister and myself, and the other minister knew that this was Pastor Osteen's son, and he said, "Joel, you're getting so big." He was probably 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
I had no idea at the time.
Yeah.
See, standing in the presence of greatness, standing, before great people, not even knowing the future that he had. And so he was on after his father passed away, and he took the ministry and ran with it. It took me a while, and I hadn't even remembered that. And then I connected the dots, and I thought, my stars, that was Joel Osteen standing there. Osteen, he was probably 8 or 9 years old. And so I don't take introductions lightly, same way with you. And I'm going to be just absolutely level with you and tell you the enemy will put so many things in your mind when it comes to operating around the people of God and the kingdom of God. I looked over at you that day, and you're probably just going to hit me with a wet broom here in a little while when I tell you this. I looked over that day, and here's what the enemy spoke to me. She looks like a very nice lady. She looks like that she loves God. But I'm not sure she has anything going on in her life. That's what the enemy told me, not what my critical, cynical spirit might be, because I'm not that way. But he tried to filter that through my mind. And then they gave you a few moments to speak at the end of the program. And I want you to know, you weren't up there very long, 4, 5, 6 minutes. But I got saved all over again because God was just oozing out of you. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was just speaking through you. And so I'm glad you're in this area. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And whatever you're doing right, just keep doing it. I encourage you in the name of the Lord, Tina, to just march on with God. I've said for many years now that some of God's greatest men are women. And so just march on. We're so proud of you and we're glad you're here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I tell you what, our life is all about relationships. You can know people, and that's one thing, but boy, when you have a relationship with someone and they become special to you, and I'm sure that in the church world there's a lot of people who know about Jesus and they have a religious knowledge and they do religious things. But you know what, Tina? To know Christ is to know life. Can I just share something with you very quickly here? A few months ago, you know, God really has been remaking my life, and, you know, here about 3 years ago, they thought I was going to die with heart trouble. It's like, okay, you know, get everything in order. And one day I woke up and said, whoa, you know, God's the one that caused these shots. And I have become increasingly stronger by the day. And finally I realized that, you know, I'm probably going to be like Hezekiah and get another 15-year hitch here before it's over with. But in doing so, I began to study to get closer to God. Now, I hear all this stuff. I hear all the preaching, and I listen to a lot of Christian television because the worst Christian television program is better than the best thing that comes out of Hollywood, you know, Hollywood. But that's because I'm searching for something. But God took me into a realization that a relationship with Him is on a completely different level than what we think and how we feel. This is not about how we feel. I get up in the morning, and this is just me. I'm not saying anybody else should do this, you know. But the first thing I do is begin praising God for His goodness, His mercy. I praise Him for the night's rest. I praise Him because I can look out my bedroom window and see the sun coming. I praise Him because I can see it's a second-story bedroom. And I praise Him because the top of the trees are beautiful, and the squirrels are running across them, and the birds. And I praise Him for everything. I praise Him. I pour my cereal. I thank Him for post-toasties, you know. And I don't mean it's in a trance thing. It's just a conscious awareness that God is giving us this opportunity to live and to be a part of Him. And I begin walking my days out in praise. And I'm not telling anybody else they should do this. But I've quit asking God for things as such, really. I mean, I do ask God for things in a, you know, if I need something, Lord, would help me through this situation, but just to go to prayer, and I kneel down and I just spend time bombarding heaven. Now, I grant it. He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, you have not because you ask not. So there's nothing wrong with asking God. But for me, God was bringing me to a different level than just seeking him for things. And I began to walking in praise. I do not have the time, nor do you want the, would you have the patience to want to listen to the, what God has done in my life. And I'm a man in my 70s, and I've lived a lot of my life. Most of my life is already lived. But I have discovered a newness in God that I never, I mean, I knew it existed, and I thought I was there. But it revealed something to me that shocked me, Tina. I saw myself as a shallow, carnal, fleshly Christian, if there is such a thing. Because now I'm walking with God and I sense his presence in a way. And I don't mean that I'm slain in the spirit. I don't mean that I'm, you know, some weirdo, running religious weirdo. I mean, I just have this relationship with God that is unique. I'm experiencing favor. He said he would cause his enemies to be at peace with us. Our enemies to be at peace with us. And I'm experiencing that. I mean, not that I got a bunch of enemies, but if we're all honest, you know, we do have in-laws. But I'm telling you that to experience the favor that God has given me. Can I just tell you one instance?
Sure.
Okay, I went to the doctor a week ago yesterday, and I had a little snafu in the office, and so I had to stay over for a few hours, and I left, and because of concern, I had to come back on Wednesday. And so when I left, she said, okay, you want to pay your copay now? I said, no, I'm going to be back Wednesday, so why can't I just pay it then? She said, that's fine. I said, how much is it? $130, she said.
A copay?
Yeah. So I said, okay. So, but, and it's Lucretia's fault. She forgot to give me the check, but she said it's my fault because I forgot to ask for it. So I went to the doctor on Wednesday, and I was leaving, and I said to Deanna, Deanna, I've got good news and bad news. Good news is I have a check made out with your name on it. Bad news is it's left at home. Oh, she said, Pastor, that's okay. Let me, we'll just send it to you. Here, your address is. Well, wait a minute, she said. It looks like you have a credit here of $131 or $2, so we actually owe you money. Now, you know, I got to ask you this question. How do you get a credit with a doctor's office?
Right.
Huh? That's weird.
No, that's divine intervention.
That's right.
That's
which
favor.
Which clinic would that be? No.
You got better way too fast.
Yes. Well, I did get really better then, you know. But, you know, and I just, when I began to praise God for the favor.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Lord himself prayed for favor with men and with the Father. So, I think when you learn to walk in praise, you develop a relationship with God. And we're talking about relationships and how important they are. It's the most wonderful thing in the world when that relationship is something that gives back to you as you give to it. And that, I think some of us here at the table have experienced that. We just met LaToya earlier today, and we already have a relationship, don't we, darling? Mm-hmm. Just met this gracious attorney, Mr. Howard, and we already have a godly connection here. And that's what's so wonderful. And I thank God for the relationship that we have with you, Tina. You're just like a granddaughter to me, you know. Yeah. Treat me like
a granddaughter. I have you in my life.
So, you know, I thank God for it. Richard, you know, who couldn't love Richard? Well, I think probably there's somebody out there.
There's somebody.
Yeah, but we won't go there, will we?
God still moves in mysterious ways.
It's his wonders to perform.
Wow. It's your turn. Andy.
You know, I was hearing both the pastors here, one of the things that came about so strongly is something that I've learned to apply in my life, and that is we have to have an active faith. Mm-hmm. If we are passive and just think that at some point in our life that we got saved and we've got our fire insurance and everything's going to be okay, and we just go along that, like that, either Satan, you know, we're no threat to Satan whatsoever, yeah. So he just leaves us alone.
That's
if we
it.
Think that.
That's right.
Or we are so inactive with God that we're just not in touch with what he's trying to tell us. And I think that when we don't have an active faith where we are pursuing the Lord, where we are seeking his face, where we're trying to find out what he wants in our life, what His desires are for our life. When we're not doing that, then we are slowly dying, and we are being ineffective, and that's when we don't have relationships that are built on the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I grew up not too far from here in the Dallas area, and went to church every Sunday. Never paid much attention to it. It was fine. I'm sure it was okay. But I just never paid that much attention to it. And we kind of lived a normal, regular mid-American life, and things were going on fine. But something came along as the 60s and 70s, and a lot of influences, and you know, about, you know, whatever feels good, do it, and and just a different way of life, and you know, long hair and hippie stuff and all that kind of thing. So as this was going on, as I'm growing up, it was readily apparent to everybody that the world was changing so rapidly, and the attitudes of young people were changing, that we were being more rebellious than I've ever known in history. And we were rebelling against the war, rebelling against the establishment, rebelling against everything, and just wanting to have fun. And, you know, there's so many people that were living that life who were going to hell so fast. We saw some of our friends die. We saw all kinds of things that were unspeakable over the years. But I remember, as I was growing up, is thinking, you know, not knowing what I wanted to do with life. I was a motocross racer for years, and that was a lot of fun. But when I was done with that, I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I thought, well, what can I do now? I guess I'll go make money. And so started learning how to make money and getting into sales and reading the books and listening to the tapes and doing all the things a lot of people do to become successful on the outside. And none of it seemed to ever work, but, you know, I was 19, 20, 21. But you know what? I met a young man. I was at lunch one day, and I met a young man who I was in there in a little store buying an item. And he made a comment to me that really astounded me. He said something about drugs. He said something about how he used to be a heroin addict. He just made a comment out of the blue. And I looked at him, and he looked like a choir boy. I mean, he didn't have a pimple on him. He was about 21 years old. And this kid, I was interested. I said, well, what do you mean you were a heroin addict? You don't look like you'd ever done anything, even had a beer. And he told me his story. He didn't say, do you know Jesus? He didn't ask me to go to church. He just told me his story. And so I was able to look at him eye to eye and determine whether I believed him. And I absolutely believed him. And his story was this, that he had been a heroin addict, had ruined his life. After a couple of years, he had been ostracized by his parents because he did everything that all addicts ever do, and steal and lie and destroy everything around him. And he decided to take his life. So he said, I shot up enough heroin to kill a horse. No way in the world that he could live. And he said it was coming onto him as waves, where this rush, as they would call it, would come on, and it would get stronger and stronger, and he almost died on one of them. But he said the last one was getting ready to come. He says, Andy, I knew it was coming. And he says, right before it got there, there was a little part of me that said, I don't want to die. The rest of me wanted to just end it. And he said, I called out to God and I said, God, if you'll save me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And that was many years ago when I heard that. That was probably in 1981 when I heard that story. And I still remember it to this day. I will serve you. He didn't make a deal. Well, I'll give you 50% and I'll come to church more often or whatever. He said, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And he said the second that happened, just like that, he woke up sober. Completely healed, never went through withdrawals.
Wow.
And I've been a salesman for years, and I could usually tell when people were lying to me, and he was about 2 or 3 feet away from me. He was not lying. He was telling the absolute truth, had nothing to gain from telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just blew me away. And I'd never done heroin, thank God, but I was thinking, I wasn't going to church. I wasn't a Christian. I was doing the thing most of my friends were doing. And I won't give you the list. You know, there's a long list of just things that we did back then. But I remember driving back to work, and I kept going over my head. I said, if God can do that for that person, as bad as that was, what could he do for me? I didn't know the answer to that. I kept asking that question. About 2 weeks later, I called him and I said, I'd like to go to church with you. I didn't ask him, you know, what kind of church would you use? I didn't say what denomination. I just said, can I go to church with you? And he said, yes, you can. And I went with him. And the pastor made that Bible come alive. And I'd never heard anyone explain it like that before. And what happened then was that I started going to church for a few times with him. And I kind of backed off for about a year. But a year later, my business had finally just blossomed. I had gone from earning almost nothing to all of a sudden earning tens of thousands of dollars every month. I was still single. I was 23. I thought, oh, all my goals are met. My life is great. It's wonderful. I was at what I felt like was the top of my game. And again, this a year later, totally different. And what happened was is that at that point when I got hit late at night, I thought it was great, but I kept thinking, is this it? This is fun. I'm having a great time, but is this all there is? And that's when God came into my life, and I accepted the Lord, and he completely changed everything.
We're listening to the testimony of attorney Andy Howard, just letting you know that God moves in all types of life styles and in all types of movement in people that in professions. So please stay tuned. Don't go away. We thank you for letting us be with you, ride with you wherever you're at. This is Cristo the Rock, 100.7.
Llévalos hasta el cielo.
No tengo.